to Joshua chapter 6. We have the account of the children of Israel, and we won't have time to read the whole thing. You ought to read this for yourself. We'll give you a little running account of it. Joshua has already sent over two spies, and we'll see that in the in the third chapter when we get to talking about Rahab. But now they are actually in the land. They have crossed over the Jordan River, and they are there to take Jericho. Now, the walls of Jericho, they tell us, were a double wall. There were two different walls, two separate walls. One of them was 6 feet thick, and the second wall, or the inner wall, was 12 feet thick. And, of course, they could build houses on top of these walls, these tremendous walls. And there was no way that an enemy could ramrod through these thick walls that they had around Jericho. And, of course, they felt rather safe there. And yet, they had heard the rumbling about Israel and how that they had been delivered out of the hands of the mighty Egyptians, which was the strongest nation in the world in that time. And they were slaves down there under them and had been slaves for 400 years. And yet they just marched right out of the land, and they took much substance with them. In fact, they took 400 years' wages for 2 million people. A lot of green. They came out and they were delivered safely. The Egyptian army was annihilated completely. There wasn't a single soldier left. They'd follow the children of Israel out. They were going to bring them back into the land. Every single one of them drowned. Now, we talked about this last time. Now, we mentioned that the liberals, you know, believe that the Red Sea, where it was went across, was very shallow. And when the wind blew it back, it really didn't have much job to do. Well, if you're going to take that position, then you got to get enough water to drown an army on horses. And that takes a lot of water. Kind of any way you look at it. Unless you've got the horses falling up on top of the people and smushing their faces down in that little 2 or 3 inches of water. And that's a miracle. So any way you take it, it was a miracle. Now, I believe it was a deep sea. And I believe that walls were on each side. And you look over there and see them. And you'd have stuck your finger in it. It probably leaked. Nobody tried it. They all went through dry shod. There wasn't even any muck down on the bottom. And you know, there's always muck where you have water standing for a long period of time. But the Bible says they went through dry shod. I believe their feet, when they got on the outside, didn't even have any residue on it at all. I don't believe there was any mud on the bottom of the feet tracking it down on the both sides of the bank. And when those Egyptians got right out in the middle, God let the wind stop. Bloop, they just drowned all of them. And every one of them was dead. They heard about this, Jericho did. They also heard about what they did to the kings as they were coming out of the wilderness. They'd been there in the wilderness for 40 years and wandering around, and then they're coming up through what we call Jordan today, and they defeated all those people. And, of course, they've got the walls closed up tight, and they are inside securely. It says there in the first verse. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. They didn't let anybody out, and they didn't let anybody in. These folks not going to bother us. We're going to stay inside. We've got food. We've got what we're going to stay here, and they're not going to get us. Well, God has different ideas. Now, he has a crazy plan. You know, God's plan is not always feasible, humanly speaking. But when he tells you to do something, just do it. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. How crazy it might sound. How unreasonable it might be. If God says it, now be sure he says it. Otherwise, you may be out on your own. Because when he doesn't tell you to do something and you do it, then, you know, you pay the piper. But if he says do it, he's going to pay for it. And he told them, he says, now I want you to take 7 priests, and give them all a ram's horn. And I want you to get the Ark of the Covenant. And I want the priest to march around the city every day for 6 days, go around one time, and carry this little box around. And I'm sure when the children, when the priest, they went around there blowing their little horns, you know. Toot, toot. All the folks on the wall, and they saw that box, they went, what in the world? What in the world's going on? Well, they went all around, nothing happened. They went on to bed that night, got up the next morning, they did the same thing. Carrying this little box around, and tooting their horns. Nobody else says a word. Joshua says, everybody else, now you be quiet. Don't you shout, don't you talk, don't say anything till I tell you. And then on the Sabbath day, they get up just like usual. I imagine about the fifth day when they go around there tooting their little horns and carrying a little box. I imagine they got thinking, well, what are those nuts down there trying to do anyway? Who do they think they are? And they probably begin to laugh at them a little bit. But you see, Israel is serious. They're down in the business. They finally decide they're going to do what God says. And they follow instructions right down to the nth degree. And on the seventh day, they get up and they go around seven times. And after the seventh time, notice verse 20, and the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great voice, that the walls fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men and women, young and old, and oxen and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Because, you see, this is what God had told them to do. Why? Because the same thing had happened to Jericho that had happened to a couple of cities just south of them a little bit, called Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, why did God have to completely destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Because they had gotten so wicked. And they had gone into such gross sin that the whole human race, if this had been permitted to continue, that it would have permeated through the earth and the whole human race would have had to been annihilated, or they would have annihilated themselves. Because when you go so far, as God tells us in Romans chapter 1, when we get to the place where we rebel against God so completely that God will turn us over to a reprobate mind and we'll do those things that will annihilate ourselves. And so God had to stop those two cities and he completely destroyed them. Of course, he got the saved out, remember. In Sodom, there was a family in there that had trusted Christ. Now, they were way out of fellowship. And you know, that might be a comfort to some of you sometime. You know, you've been out of fellowship for a long time and it looks like the bottom's fixing to fall out. And it is. But God may deliver you anyway, just like he did Lot. Now, he just went right down there and he lived in Sodom and he just acted like the Sodomites. He didn't have any testimony. But God delivered him. Why? He was saved. He was Abraham's nephew. And he might do the same thing to you, because you could sin unto death. Lot's wife finally sinned unto death. You know, she looked back, and God said, don't look back. And she looked back, and she turned to a pillar of salt. That happened. And here's another city that's in the same position. Now, God hasn't given the Israelites, the Jews, the land of Palestine for 400 years because they haven't gotten into the place where they were like the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But now they are. He's let them go their way and they have rebelled against God. They have not trusted him. They said, we don't want to have anything to do with God. And so God has turned them loose and he's let them go. And they have gotten in this condition. And that's the reason why they all have to be annihilated, even down to their animals. Verse 22, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out there the woman, and all that she hath, as we swore unto her. Now, we're going to look at this in just a moment in the third chapter of Joshua, the account. But now you save Rahab and everybody who is in her house. Now, they had given instructions how to be delivered. Now, who in the city of Jericho could have been delivered? Everybody. Rahab was, and you know, what does the Bible say she was? She was a prostitute. She was a down and outer. She was from the red light district. And if God delivered her, could he not deliver the others? Sure could have. Why did he deliver her and not deliver the others? Because she trusted the Lord Jesus. She believed in Jehovah. And anybody else who believed, who did the right thing, was at the right place, did what she said, they could have been delivered. And there were others who were delivered besides Rahab. Because her father and her mother and some brothers were there too. And the whole city could have been if they had done what Rahab did. But they didn't. They would not trust God. They would not believe in God's salvation, His deliverance, the coming Messiah. But she did. As we said, she turns out to be a tremendous woman. In fact, this down and out becomes so tremendous that she is a great, great, great grandmother to who? The Lord Jesus. Now strap that on for a minute. Think about that. You think God won't save the down and outers? Sure will. And see what can happen to them when they do trust Jesus Christ as their Savior? And they start trusting Him and believing in Him and living for Him? It doesn't matter how deep you go. He'll still pick you up if you'll trust Him. But you've got to trust Him. You may wear the best perfume. You may always take a bath every day, two or three times. Always say the right things. Always do the right things. And never trust Jesus Christ and die and go to a devil's hell. If you don't trust the Lord Jesus, you will. It's based on faith in Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that a little later on. Well, they destroyed the city utterly. Verse 22, and Joshua had said unto the two men that spied out the country that they were to go into the harlot's house and bring forth the woman and all that she had, as ye swore unto her. And the young men who were spies went in, these two that we're going to see in the third chapter, and brought Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brother, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire, and all that was in it, only the silver, and the gold, and the vessels of bronze, and iron they put into the treasure house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel, even until this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So, Jericho is destroyed. How? Because of the faith of Joshua and the children of Israel. Now, they demonstrate their faith by doing exactly as God said. If we had time, we could go on and read through the book of Joshua, and we could see how that later on, in fact, the next campaign, the next battle, they decide they can do it themselves. And they don't trust the Lord. They don't depend upon the Lord to give them Ai. They didn't defeat Ai either because they tried to do it. They didn't walk thy faith. But here, in the 30th verse of Hebrews, they did by faith. By faith they relied upon the Lord. By faith they trusted God to do what He said. And when He told them to walk around that city once every day for 6 days, and then 7 times on the 7th day, and blow those little old ram's horn, toot those little old tooters, carry that ark with them, the very presence of God delivered the enemy into their hands. Then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 again, don't turn back there because we'll be right back to Joshua. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. And notice the writer of the Hebrews calls her the harlot again. In fact, practically every time you see her name mentioned, she's called the harlot. I think God's trying to say something to us. She perished not with them that believed not. Notice why they perished. Because they didn't believe. Why did she not perish? By faith, the harlot Rahab. When she received the spies with peace. Now let's look at that account for just a moment in the 3rd chapter of Joshua. In the first verse it said, Joshua the son of Nun, I guess we should say the son of some instead of the son of Nun, I'm glad somebody got it. Joshua the son of Nun sent out from Sittim 2 men to spy secretly. I don't know how you spy unless you're going to do it secretly, but that's what they did. They sent the CIA in, saying, go and view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in here tonight of the children of Israel to search out our country. Now they went in secretly, but it didn't last very long. Somebody saw them and somebody knew who they were. And the word really spreads around through Jericho. Now they're shook. They have already heard, as we mentioned, how that, in fact, all over the country, everywhere, the fame of the children of Israel has gone forth. They've heard about how they came out of Egypt. They heard how they defeated the kings on the east side of Jordan and what we would call Jordan today, Moab, Ammon, and Edom, and how they just laid waste to the land. And they know they're next on the list because they've crossed over Jordan now. And they're crossing over Jordan. And boy, they are upset and they're shook. And so they try to find out where they are. They're sending folks all through the city of Jericho to find out where these 2 men are lodging. Look at verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know the Lord hath given you the land. I know Jehovah. The Lord is Jehovah. Jehovah means the Redeemer, the one who pays for sin. I know that He hath given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us. Everybody in our city is shook up. And that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea. You know, our professors don't believe that today. Our intellectual, but Rahab did. They dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what ye did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now who's talking? This is a Canaanitish woman. This is a harlot. But she knows, she's been listening down there in the marketplace. And she's been hearing about these things that have been going on around. And boy, she says, I want to know those people's God. I want to know this God. Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. Now she had hid them, see. And that ye shall save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sister and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our lives for yours. If ye utter not that our business, this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers have returned, and afterwards ye shall go on your way. Now they sent out a posse. Of course, a posse doesn't ever find the right man. And they didn't find these three. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window by which thou didst let us down. Now, if you don't do exactly as we say, then we'll be relieved of our oath. We'll make an oath. We'll tell you what to do. And if you'll do exactly as we say, then you'll be delivered. If you don't, then we will be released. Just like God says that there's only one way to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father how? But by me. The way to heaven is straight and it's narrow. It's thin. It's razor thin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And they had to do what? Put a scarlet thread in the window. The window that they were let out, if you'll take this scarlet thread and you'll put it in the window, when our army comes in, then you will be delivered and everybody in your house. But the scarlet thread has to be in the window by which thou didst let us down. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brother and all thy household unto home unto thee. Now, where are they to be? In Rahab's house. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter if they're their brother, if they're father. If they don't come to the house where the scarlet thread is, they'll not be delivered. They've got to be there. And if they're there, what's going to happen? Same. No destruction. The father might say, well, Rahab, that's a bunch of hogwash. Why, those people are not going to take this town. Or what difference does it make if they do take it? They're going to kill you and everybody else. I'm staying home. I'm not leaving my bed. What would happen? He's going to die. But he comes to Rahab's house. What's going to happen? He's going to live. Notice verse 19. And it shall be that whosoever goeth out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. We'll not be guilty because he left the house. He's supposed to come in the house. He's supposed to stay there. And whosoever shall be in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. He said we'll be responsible if he's in the house and he's touched. Out of the house, he's on his own. In the house, he's saved. Outside of Christ, you're on your own. In the house, in Christ, you're saved. Verse 20. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be free of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. According to what you say, that's the way it's going to be. Rahab says, I'm going to follow instructions to the T. Whatever you say, I'll do. Boy, don't you wish we had Christians that would do that today? Don't you wish you'd be like that today? You know, God tells us in His Word that just like a newborn babe wants milk, we ought to have a yearning and a desire for it. And most of us don't even read it. We read the newspaper more than we read the Word of God. Most Christians watch more television than they do studying God's Word. A lot of Christians listen to the radio more than they read God's Word. In fact, we do a lot of things just for pleasure, just for relaxing, more than we do studying and reading God's Word. Well, how are we going to do God's Word if we don't know it? But this girl, this woman, down and out her, but she says, you say it, and it's going to be just like you say. You know, the last thing Jesus told us to do was what? Witness. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. How many of them is a witness? How many of us are concerned about lost people? How many of us does it really bug us when we see somebody who's lost and we know they're lost and it upsets us and disturbs us just a little bit because we haven't told them how to get to heaven? We haven't been sitting around figuring out ways that we can get to them and show them how God loved them and how He died on the cross and paid for all their sins, past, present, future, and if you'll just put your complete trust and reliance and faith in Him, you won't have to perish, but you'll have everlasting life. We want to get that story over to people. It's a burning, driving desire that we have. Or are we content to sit around and twiddle our thumbs and let them just sort of rock on to hell? Well, not Rahab. She listened carefully. And she says, according to thy word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. She did exactly like they said. And they went, and they came to the mountain, and abode there 3 days, till the pursuers returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, and they did not find them. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. What did God tell him, Joshua, he was going to do? Give the whole land. What did Joshua say? God's surely going to do it. For even all the inhabitants of this country do faint because of us. Now, why are they faint? Because God had kept on delivering these people into their hands. Now, I want you to turn with me, in closing, to Matthew chapter 1. By faith, Rahab. I said a moment ago that this woman became a wonderful person. In fact, in Jewish genealogies, they never mention the women. It was always the men, never the women. And yet, in the genealogy of the king, which Matthew presents to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have 4 women mentioned. 2 of them Jewish, 2 Gentiles. Now, will God bless Gentiles? Sure will. Why? If they believe. If they're Christian, they trust Him. In verse 3, Tamar is mentioned, who was also mentioned in Genesis chapter 38. She she is of the lineage of Christ. And then in verse 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Now, Ruth was a Moabite too. Rahab was a Canaanite. We have two Gentiles who are in the lineage of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus. And then in the sixth verse, Bathsheba is mentioned, the wife of Uriah, she's called. And so we have four women who are mentioned, but notice Rahab is among the group. Now I want you to turn with me for just a moment to James chapter 2 and look at verse 25. James chapter 2, verse 25. Now, we're talking about being justified by works. And in 2:25 it says, well, 24 it says, ye see then that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. In like manner also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messages and sent them out another way. Here it talks about her who had believed in Jehovah. She believed in this God who had delivered the Israelites. She had trusted Him. And then when the spies came in, she exercised that faith and it began to produce. She took them and she hid them. And then she helped them escape because she knew that God was on their side and that they were of God. They were of Jehovah, this one that everybody had been talking about, and yet nobody had turned to. But she turned to Him. She trusted Him as her Savior. And then by faith, she knew that He would take care of her. And so she let them out the window, told them how to go and where to escape the posse so they wouldn't catch them. And they could go back to Joshua and make their report to him. And then when they came, you see, if they didn't make it back, what would happen to Rahab? You see, she made a deal with the two spies. If they didn't get back, they couldn't tell Joshua. And when Joshua came into the city, if he saw the scarlet thread, he wouldn't know what it meant if they didn't get back and tell. So she trusted the Lord to deliver these two. She was a real woman of faith. She believed that Jehovah up there could take care and could protect. And suppose that the men, when they did see the scarlet thread, and she had done exactly what they said, suppose they didn't keep their end of the bargain by faith. By faith. She believed that they would unto God. All for people who, like these people, will trust God. Not only to save their soul, but to take care of them, even though everybody else around is destroyed, they can be saved. God can deliver, and God will, as we learn to walk by faith. As we learn to depend upon God to take care of us, every problem, everything that comes our way, God is able. Is He? Can He? Will He?